Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call, this prime time edition. I'm your host, Cyril Quinn, taking you to the top of the top of the hour, 8 o'clock, where I will lead you into Game 5 of the Divisional American League Divisional Series between the Tampa Bay Rays. Let me get that right. And the Texas Rangers, as one of those teams will look to be playing against, take on the New York Yankees come Friday night in the American League Championship Series. And this series did not look like it would get to a Game 5. I mean, Texas jumped all over to, Tampa Bay, winning two games in Tampa Bay, kicked off, of course, our Game 1 with Cliff Lee, who was his normal dominant self in the postseason. Lee, of course, has never lost a postseason game. Then you had C.J. Wilson pitching well, and Tampa looked dead, I mean, for the first two games. Then they come back, they light up Texas's bullpen in Game 3, and next thing you know, and here we are, looking at Game 5 back in Tampa Bay, back in Tampa, and again, it's amazing how quick a series can change. I mean, Evan Longoria and B.J. Upton and Carlos Pena, those guys couldn't hit the side of a barn. Now Longoria and Pena and Upton have gotten hot, and Texas now finds itself in a position where not too many teams have won. Only those with A's in 2001 have gone on the road, won the first two games, and failed to win the series. It has not happened. I mean, we've seen teams come back from 2-2 after losing the first two games on the road. We've seen that. We rarely see a team win the first two games on the road and not find a way to win the series. The pressure's on both of these teams because, you know, you look at Texas, they have not won a postseason series in their history. And it's not a long history, 39 years, but it's still never. And Tampa Bay will be looking a lot different come next year whenever their season ends. That's all there is to it. They have a ton of free agents. You know, Carlos Pena, Carl Crawford, just name a few. Rafael Soriano. I mean, all three of those guys were all stars this year, and that doesn't even count B.J. Upton and Matt Garza, who are arbitration eligible and are due for certainly raises in their salaries. Certainly Garza will get a much higher one, considering that he's a pitcher and you need him, and he's much more important to the team than Upton is. But regardless, I mean, a lot of question marks going into the offseason for Tampa Bay. So this is a big game for them as well, and plus Tampa Bay believes that they can beat the New York Yankees come the, in the next round. So, again, there's a lot on the line for both of these teams, and, you know, there's nothing quite like a decisive game in any sport. You know, hockey, basketball, and baseball as well, because, I mean, you never know, you know, who's going to freeze up, you know who's going to come up big, you know, which pitcher's going to have a pitch lights out, a defensive play, especially in baseball, because there's so many things that can happen over the course of a game. You have to lean towards Texas because of Cliff Lee. I know Tampa Bay does have home field advantage with the last at bat, and that is an advantage. That's the one thing about baseball. You know, having that last at bat is a great advantage to have when you're at home with the last at bat. But, you know, Cliff Lee is Cliff Lee. But again, David Price is not top liver. David Price certainly will be amongst the top candidates for a Cy Young Award in the American League. Didn't pitch well Game 1. I expect him to pitch better in Game 2. Will it be enough? You know, that remains to be seen. The key, though, I think the key to this game, and I'm 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 leaning towards Tampa as far as them having to score first. You know, if Tampa gets a couple runs off Cliff Lee, then I would give Texas a better chance of getting some runs off David Price and coming back. If Texas goes out there in the first inning and puts a three spot on Tampa, this game is over. I mean, Cliff Lee will settle into his comfort zone. They'll force him. You know, you can see Tampa Bay batters start to press, start swinging at pitches that are not strikes, and then it'll be all downhill from then on. I think Tampa Bay has a score first, and I think Tampa Bay needs to get lead early and not allow him to get comfortable and settle into, you know, any type of rhythm. Lee, you know, he works quick. He's going to throw strikes, and he's a guy that just is going to work at his own pace. You got to slow him down. You have to slow him down and kind of make him, you know, kind of take him out of his rhythm. And I think Tampa Bay is going to have to swing early and often in the count. They cannot allow Lee as a guy. Again, he throws strikes. This is a guy who does not walk anybody. So he's going to throw you strikes. You're going to have to, even if you take a couple of early strikeouts, you're going to have to, that, the first pitch might be the best pitch you get over the course of the at-bat. So I expect Tampa Bay to be aggressive early, and I expect Cliff Lee to use that aggressiveness against them and probably have a high strikeout game. Still to come on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call, we'll look back at the NLCS. We'll look ahead at the NLCS and look back at the divisional series between Atlanta and San Francisco that wrapped up last night, and look forward towards Philadelphia, San Francisco, and we'll also look at who's the hitter to watch in this particular game between Tampa Bay and Texas as both teams look to one of those teams look to face the Yankees in the upcoming ALCS. We'll be right back. Edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call Prime Time Edition, as we get ready for Game 5 of the American League Divisional Series between Tampa Bay and Texas. I'm your host, Will Quinn, Blog Talk Radio. You can hit me up at twitter.com/WilliamGerald or at facebook.com/SurrealQuinn. Again, a lot on the line for both of these teams. Both of these teams have a lot to lose if they don't win this game. Again, Texas, I think Tampa Bay probably has more to lose, considering that they can have a totally different looking team. The ownership is looking to slash payroll. I mean, you can see them taking a step back next year. They still have a great farm system, some young prospects, some guys who are ready to step in. But again, if you lose a Carl Crawford, Carlos Pena or Rafael Soriano, you're not going to be as good as you were in 2010. That's all there is to it. Texas, on the other hand, is looking to erase 39 years of not winning a postseason series. They haven't won. They have lost. I mean, dating back to, I believe, 1998, they lost. They haven't won a home playoff game, which is amazing when you think about it. And again, they could be a different looking team as well, because Cliff Lee is going to be a free agent, and by all accounts, Cliff Lee is going to go to the highest bidder, which unfortunately might mean the New York Yankees. He's going to be a $100 million pitcher. I mean, that's all it is to it. If Zito got $127 million, Cliff Lee might get $150 million. Cliff Lee is going to get CC Sabathia type money. And the guy's one of the left-handed in the prime of his career, one of the best pitchers in baseball. A money pitcher guy, you know, he's 5-0 with a 1.52 ERA for his career in the postseason, has been dominant. between this year and what he did in Philadelphia last year. So, you know, Texas, you want to get as much as possible. You want to try to get a championship while he's still on your team. But, yeah, I'm sure Texas will try to sign him. But, again, there are going to be a lot of teams after the services of one Cliff Lee. Of course, last night you had the San Francisco Giants taking care of business versus the Atlanta Braves with a 3-2 victory, another one-run game. That was the only series in the history of baseball to where all games were decided by one run. It was a great series from start to end, despite the errors. You know, Brooks Conrad, of course, had a rough series in that critical game three, where he had three errors, had four in the series, and was just awful throughout. And the Giants did what they had to do. I mean, the Giants, that's San Francisco Giant baseball. They're going to pitch you. They're going to pitch well. Their bullpen has been great. Their starters were just, you know, what Lincecum, Sanchez, Kane, and Bumgarner did. I mean, they allowed about 300 runs over the course of the series. I mean, Lincecum didn't give up an earned run. Kane did not give up an earned run. Sanchez gave up one earned run. Yeah, Sanchez gave up, I believe, one earned run, and Bumgarner gave up two last night. I mean, their starting pitching over the past month has been as dominant as I've ever seen from a collective staff. I mean, when you get pitching like that, you always have a chance. And again, I'm going to stick with my pick as far as that Philadelphia series goes. Philly's a favorite. They deserve to be favored. But it's something about the San Francisco team that you like. Good karma, great pitching, something that has a lot to do with it. I'm going to stick with them as being to represent the NL in the World Series. So I think it will be a classic series coming up in the NLCS, where runs will be at a premium. Lincecum will match up with Holiday on Saturday night in Game 1 in Philadelphia. And, of course, with Atlanta losing, that marked the end for one Bobby Cox, without question, first ballot Hall of Fame manager. Cox managed the Braves for 29 years, 16 playoff appearances, 15 division titles, including 15 in a row from 91 to 2005. A record, something that I don't think will ever be broken. I mean, that level of consistency is just, it's never going to happen again. I mean, you know, even the Yankees didn't make the playoffs in 2008. So, you know, Red Sox missed it this year. So, I mean, every so often, one of those powerhouses, the Phillies will miss it one of these years coming up. No team, you will never see a team win 15. Forget about winning 15 straight divisional titles. You will never see a team in baseball history go to the playoffs 15 straight years. You know, it's not the NBA. It's not going to happen. It's too hard year in, year out to make the playoffs in baseball with injuries and with payroll and things of that nature. So just a great one for Bobby Cox. And you can make a case that Bobby Cox was the greatest manager of this generation, of this era. And that's saying a lot when you have the likes of a Joe Torre and a Tony La Russa, who between them have six championships and won, you know, about 5,000 games between them. You can make a case that Cox is better than either one of them, because Cox never had the dominant closer that either one of them had. I mean, you think about it. Mariano Rivera, to me, is the greatest closer of all time, one of the greatest pitchers of all time. And Dennis Eckersley was a guy who, before Mariano Rivera, was the dominant closer of his era and generation. And Cox never had that. I mean, he had to go through so many different closers, Mark Wohlers and, you know, Alejandro Pena's, the Jeff Reardon's of the world, who's the fruitcake that, you know, basically ripped New York and made all these ignorant and bigoted statements about New York a few years ago. I can't think of his name right now, but yeah, certainly New York, New York Mets fans know what I'm talking about. You know, he wasn't any good. You know, he was good for about 2 years, and then after that, seemingly after that incident, he just was not the same. Wasn't the same. But the point is, Atlanta has went through a million closers, and again, had they had a guy of the magnitude, either anywhere close to Mariano Rivera, I'll put you this way: if Atlanta had a Joe Nathan, they would have won 2 or 3 or 4 more championships. Easily. I mean, they always had enough hitting, always had the best starting pitching, but they never had that dominant closer. And the 1 year they did have a dominant closer, Woods, who pitched great that particular year, they won a championship. So, again, Bobby Cox retires after 29 years. Again, simply one of the greatest managers of all time, certainly of this generation, of this era, of any era. He was that good, and he will go out after 29 years with the Atlanta Braves organization. And again, as you look ahead towards the NLCS with Philly and San Francisco, again, everybody's going to pick Philly. I mean, somebody might take a flyer and pick San Francisco because of the pitching, but majority of people are going to pick Philly, and, you know, and I have no problem with that. Consider how dominant Philadelphia's pitching has been for the last month and also and throughout the postseason against Cincinnati. But keep this in mind. Philadelphia hit 203 against a Cincinnati pitching staff that is pretty good. That's not great, but pretty good. Has some good young arms, but don't have near the firepower and near the, you know, I would say that the Giants, that Jonathan Sanchez would probably be number one starter on Cincinnati's pitching staff, and he's the Giants' number three starter. So they, you know, it's nowhere near as good as San Francisco starting pitching, and that's one thing that was lost in that series through all the mistakes that Cincinnati made and through all the great pitching power they had was that Philadelphia did not swing the bat well at all. I mean, they had one game where they scored. You know, scored 6 runs. I believe that game 2-1, 6-4. But remember, in that game, you know, Cincinnati had about 3 or 4 errors, including the Jay Bruce play where the ball went by him, where he lost the ball seemingly in the lights, and the ball went by him, and a couple of runs scored, and he changed the whole complexion of that particular game. So that's going to be a class. I think that's a 7-game series myself. Again, I think the Giants are hot right now, and their pitching has just been just off the charts. But that would be a great and very fun series to watch. Still to come on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. I will come back with predictions, and also I will give you a couple things to watch to look for in this game five, this decisive game five between the Texas Rangers and Tampa Bay Devils, Tampa Bay Rays. I'll be right back. After the 7 o'clock hour, just 10 minutes left in the program. Of course, game five between Texas and Tampa Bay will is coming up soon. First pitch should be around 8:07, 8:08 at the Trop, one of the worst baseball and one of the worst baseball stadiums in all of baseball. I mean, to have a game five at that place, I mean that's not Wrigley Field. That's not going to make anybody forget about Wrigley Field or Fenway Park. That leads me to one of my points. What a disaster for baseball if the dimensions of that baseball park affected the outcome of this game. If you remember back in August, either late July, early August, the Twins were playing, Tampa Bay was playing the Twins, it looked like Tampa Bay had the game wrapped up, bobbing a knife or something, or even late in the game. One of the Twins batters hit a ball. It hit in the field of play up top. Not the catwalk, but somewhere close to the catwalk. One of those beams in Tropicana Field, and you know the Twins end up winning the game. It's in the field of play, and again, it's a dump. It's an absolute dump. There's so many little nooks and crannies in that particular stadium. Tampa Bay needs a new stadium. Without question, Joe Maddon was screaming after that game about wanting a new stadium. So hopefully that will have no effect on this particular game. As far as the game goes, again, I have to lean towards Texas. I like David Price. I think he'll pitch better. But Cliff Lee is Cliff Lee. I mean, Cliff Lee has been dominant throughout his career in the postseason. I can see him going out there and throwing a complete game, five hitter. Maybe he gives up one run, and I think that'll be enough. I like Texas in a 3-2, 2-1 type game. And if you're Ron Washington, I understand that your bullpen is one of the best in baseball. A lot of people think Texas has the best bullpen in baseball. I'm telling you right now, I'm riding and dying with Cliff Lee on the mound. I don't care if he throws 180 pitches. I really don't. If I'm going down, I'm going down with my best. It'd be like Al Leiter back in 2000 when the Mets lost to the Yankees. Yeah, he threw 140 pitches, and his arm was about to fall. But you know what? He was the best that the Mets had. I rather saw him than any other bullpen, any other person coming out the bullpen. I don't care how productive that player was. I don't care how good that player was or that pitcher was coming out the pen. The same thing with Texas. I think you have to go with your horse. Leak is more than capable. He's Roy Halladay like in terms of complete games. He can finish. He's efficient. He does not throw a lot of pitches. He gets quick innings. He throws strikes. Again, he does not. This is where it benefits Lee in terms of his style, because he does not throw a lot of pitches, because he doesn't walk anybody. So again, if I'm Ron Washington, I'm going down with Cliff Lee. If I lose a game because I left Cliff Lee in too long, then even despite my bullpen, you know what? So be it. That's how much confidence that I would have in him being able to start and finish this game. And I suspect that he will start and finish this game. I think he will use Tampa Bay's aggressiveness against him, and I expect a big game out of him. Again, I think Price will pitch better, but I think Lee, at the end of the day, Lee will be a little too much for the Tampa Bay Devil Rays, and I think Texas will move on to play the New York Yankees come Saturday night. A big disadvantage that both these teams will have, regardless of who it is going to Yankee series, is that neither one of these, whether it's Price or Lee, will not be able to pitch until Game 3. Now, both of these pitching staffs are very good, so you would have confidence in a Matt Garza, or you have confidence in a CJ Wilson. Well, those I would think would be the game one pitches those would be the game one pitches, whether it's Tampa or Texas against the Yankees. But it throws when you go to the extra game in these series, it throws off your rotation, and it is a major disadvantage going to the next series. I mean, the Giants, it was very important for the Giants to take care of business last night to have their pitching rotation intact. Because remember, that series, the American League Championship Series, is going to kick off on Friday. Not Saturday, Friday. So there's no way that, you figure game one Friday, game two Saturday, game three Monday. So, again, CJ Wilson, who pitched game two, will be on 4 days. He will be on a 4 or 5 day, will have basically 4 or 5 days rest, as he did not pitch last believe that probably last Thursday or Friday. He would be on basically full. He'd be on full rest. So then C.J. Wilson, who had an excellent year in his own right, on basically full rest. And guards would be on full rest. But again, you only see Lee or David Price twice in the series, in Game 3 and probably in there is a Game 7, Game 7, which is not the worst thing. But you might have those guys possibly have the option of possibly pitching those guys three times in the series, in games 1, 4, and 7, or games 1, 4, or 7, instead of just only having them in games three and seven. Other news, non-baseball related. Of course, last night you had the Jets taking out the Vikings, which I don't think was a surprise to me. That game was more about the Vikings. I know what the Jets are. I mean, the Jets are a legitimate Super Bowl contender. The good news for the Jets is they are legit in terms of being a Super Bowl contender. The bad news is the two other best teams in football are in the same conference with them, and that's the Pittsburgh Steelers and Baltimore Ravens. So they're going to have to find a way to navigate their way through one of those, or maybe even both of those teams, to get to a Super Bowl. So that's the bad news. But you know, you're a Jets fan, if you're a Jets, you worry about that when that occurs, or even if it occurs. But if you're a Minnesota Vikings fan, I think you have to be encouraged by what you saw. If you can keep Brett Favre standing upright, they're going to score points. Once they were able to snap the football, they actually looked like a professional football, a National Football League offense, and they put 20 on the Jets within basically two snaps of a finger. I mean, it was like a light switch went on, and then it was like, oh, we have Randy Moss, let's go downfield at will and score. So if they can do that against the best defense in the NFL, then there's no reason why they can't put 27 to 30 points on the board week in and week out. The problem for the Vikings is the hole too big? Is it too late? They're 1-3. Their schedule is brutal coming up. They have Dallas. There should be a lot of fun watching those two desperate teams go at it. I mean, they still have Dallas. They still have New England upcoming. Their schedule is murder in the month of October. I mean, absolute murder. If they can navigate their way towards a 4-5 record after 9 games, they should be in pretty good shape. Because I don't think anybody is running away with the NFC. And all you got to do is get in the playoffs. I mean, home field is nice, and a first round bye would be nice. But let's be honest, you get in the playoffs, you have just as good a chance as any if you're healthy. I mean, we've seen divisional teams go to the Super Bowl. We've seen wild card teams win Super Bowls. So that is just getting in and being healthy at that. As far as the Brett Favre situation is concerned, with these allegations of skipping racy pitches and naked pitches to this so-called Jen Sturgeon, I can't take it serious. Because when you have her lawyer, her representation, saying that the alleged incident, then that tells you that they don't even know whether it happened or not. And you can't have your lawyer saying the incident allegedly took place. That just doesn't sound right. So this thing happened 2 years ago. And now all of a sudden it's being brought up in 2010. This occurred when he played the Jets. That was in 2008. So I don't take this thing serious at all. We'll see what happens with it. I seriously doubt that Brett Favre will be suspended or have any type of punishment thrust upon him. So that's my opinion on it. We'll see how it all shakes out. Well, enjoy the game tonight. Game 5, Texas and Tampa at the Trop in Tampa Bay. Again, I like Texas in a close game. Cliff Lee, to me, is the difference. But I expect a classic, and who knows, maybe you'll get lucky and we'll get extra innings. I will see you next time on the next Saturday morning wake-up call. So long. Have a great night.